Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in tonight with us. Glad to have you aboard. We're getting right into the scriptures. We're on the tares. Who are the tares? And who are the wheat? We're going to get into that two covenant aspect of fulfillment prophecies and explore the great mysteries of the tares that is sown in the wheat. We're going to try to really make some spiritual sense out of these two covenants. Now, turn to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, and we're going to start at the 12th verse. Ephesians chapter 2, 12. Now, let me make an announcement concerning our Passover in Andrews, North Carolina. Now, there are people coming from several states that are scheduled to come in, and we are expecting several people from out of those different states to come, and we're going to have a baptism in the name of Yahweh. Now, if you have ever wanted to be baptized into the sacred name, and you feel like that we're in the last days and time is getting short, ladies and gentlemen, it is for sure that we are down in the last days. And remember what the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were unaware. They didn't know it was going to happen. The door was shut immediately, and then the flood came, and problems for the world. Well, it's going to happen again, as it was in the days of Noah. So then you may or may not. Now, it depends on who you're listening to. If you listen to your spirit, I know you want to prepare. So why don't you follow your spirit and come and be with us and join us in Andrews, North Carolina for the fellowship of the Passover for 8 glorious days. We'll be there for 8 glorious days in fellowship with the saints in the Union. They're coming from all around the country to celebrate and to participate in the fellowship of the Passover. And we're going, like I say, there's going to be several going into water baptism on the Passover festival. So make your plans if you'd like to be baptized into the great name of Yahweh, the sacred almighty name. Now, you're going to find it very, very difficult in the kingdom as you appear before him without his name. If you have his name in your forehead, then you are going to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you only have to be faithful over a few things. There is no flesh in his presence that's perfect. Every spirit is here for a trial, and every spirit is training, and every spirit is to grow in grace and knowledge, and so on and so forth. So then, we are now in the process of learning the mysteries of the kingdom and the covenants that the Father has given us. I'm telling you, in the last 5 years, it is absolutely amazing what God has revealed to my heart about this day. And so many things that I have to share with you in the feast and the things to come. And we will give you these things in fellowship where we don't preach or teach them on the radio. And that is for reasons of only the sheep. These mysteries and these things are given only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, who are his disciples. Remember, he took his disciples aside privately and taught them, but he spoke in parables as he was teaching in public. And a lot of times, that is necessary to veil the truth, because there, you know, you don't cast your pearls before swine. And we are on national, worldwide radio, international radio, and so then we got a lot of enemies out there. We got very few friends but we got a lot of enemies. And so then we take caution for those enemies. At least we would put a jewel in their pig-type mentality, and they go to rooting. You can tell somebody that's mixed with canine blood. They're always trying to root up the wheat. They have nothing evil to say about the evil ones. They're always trying to speak evil about the righteous ones. And that's a so-called. Now, you know what the Bible said? The Bible says that the truth shall be spoken evil of by so-calls. And the more truth that you preach and the more revelations you bring, then the more that they're going to hate you and despise you for the revelations of truth. Now, notice these so-calls never get a revelation themselves. They ride the coattails of other messages. They only know what they have been taught. And they don't have any vision to see for themselves. They have to follow a shepherd. Now, when there's no shepherd, they wander in darkness. They become bitter, envy, and full of pride, puffed up, fleshy, carnal, and separated from the commonwealth. Because when you get away from the fire, you certainly get cold in your spirit. You have no encouragement. You have no faith. Faith comes by hearing the word. And it has to be a living word from the mouth of the prophet. You see, the literal or carnal, if you will, the surface word, it is written only for instruction to point you to the way. Then there's a living word that's hid. It's called the hidden manna that is given only to the shepherds. And that's why we call our radio show the Shepherd's Call. Tonight you're hearing the voice of a shepherd calling out the sheep. Ladies and gentlemen, we are very encouraged. We've had calls in and out all day from our radio show and people inquiring, people wanting to know, people asking questions from as far away as Montana and Iowa just today. Calls coming in around the nation inquiring about this great mystery, this covenant mystery that we're preaching and teaching on. And for that, we are thankful for men with courage and women with courage that will hold up the arms of this shepherd that he may preach the gospel in season and out to bring a revelated truth of the anointed word. You see, the Bible says that the people perish without a vision. Now, the vision is shown only to the prophets. He said, I will do nothing except I first show it to my prophets. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is doing a new work with a new covenant. Here it says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws into their mind. Now, that's the inner kingdom mind, not the flesh mind. And I will write them on their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Oh, my. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and sins, and their iniquities I will remember no more. You know, those that keep dredging up old sins, living in the past, callous, envious, jealous, despiteful. They are fleshy-minded, serving the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, in that he saith a new covenant. This is the covenant of the wrath. Law worketh wrath. And it provokes in those that have no vision, no purpose, no ministry, no calling, no anointing. And so they stumble alone in the darkness, fearful, resentful, pride goeth before their fall and their destruction, and their end is their belly. Ladies and gentlemen, in that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and wax old is ready to vanish away. Well, in Hebrews chapter 2, let us read verse 12. And at that time, you were without Christ. Now, at that time, you were without the anointing. The word Christ in Greek means literally anointing. Now remember, there's many false anointed ones. Those that profess Christ with their mouth, but their heart's far from them. Those that wander along in darkness without a prophet or a vision. Those that have to be taught everything they get by a prophet. And then they go out and then they begin to castrate, if you will, or castigate the prophets and seek to destroy the message or the messenger. Most of the time it's the messenger because they can't do nothing with the message. The message will stand on its own. But there is within past those that walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you have had our, or you have heard our conversations in times past in the lust of our own flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein that he loved us, Jacob Israel, even when you were dead in your sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and raised us up together, that we be made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, who, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Yahweh-Shua. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ladies and gentlemen, the workmanship is in you, Christ. Remember, he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He didn't choose you because you were strong. He didn't choose you because of your eliteness or your works that you brag about in your mouth or your carnal understanding. They that think they stand, take heed lest they fall. They boast. They're prideful. They're resentful. They're full of wrath. And that's their message. They have no revelation, so that's the only message that's left for them. They're like the crumbs that fall from the prophet's table. They want to pick up the crumbs, the little bit of glimmering light and truth, and then they get a resentful, prideful, lustful, wrathful spirit, and then they try to minister. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just like the household of Eli, and the same thing applies, where in times past you walked according to the nature of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, according as he hath in us chosen before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, who is it that will condemn those that have been perfected in righteousness, not by works, but by the grace of God, that they may preach the gospel, having predestinated those chosen ones into the adoption of children by the Messiah himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known us, unknown unto us, the mystery. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a prophet, if you are anointed, if you are a sheep, then you will come to the shepherd that has the anointed message from the very mouth of God. God is moving on. What was necessary true back 2,000 years ago is not true today. Times change, covenants change, and in this sense, there was a covenant change from the Levitical of the flesh of the wrath of the law, which worketh wrath, to the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together all things in Christ, both that are in heaven and that are upon the earth, even in him whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh in all things after the counsel of his own will, to that you should be his praise and his glory, who first trusted in the anointing, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you must hear the word of truth, and how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Now, this gospel that has been sent into the hearts of those that will receive it, then those that believe are sealed with the Holy Spirit upon us, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, let me deal just briefly with the word inheritance. do you have an inheritance with the Father? Who is it that will disannul the covenant or the testament that God's will and last testament that he gave to his people? Now, suppose that you go to your attorney and you draw up your will. You decide to will your house and all your property to your son. It is done on your own free will. Just because you love your son, then you return home, tell your son what you have done, and promise that you will never revoke that will. Ah, a year later, you make another trip to the attorney's office, and this time, taking your son with you, there you draw up a contract whereby you will give your son his inheritance, but he must first build a barn on the property that you have gave him as an inheritance. Both of you sign your names to the second contract, which is a conditional contract that you must build a barn. The next year, you die. The attorney calls in your son and reads the will to him. He is the inheritor of your house and property. This is a fact that cannot be nullified. However, since he was not yet completed the building of the barn as specified in the second contract, he is unable to lay claim to his inheritance for the time being because he hasn't fulfilled his obligation to the second contract. Now, are you getting the picture? The first covenant was unconditional inheritance. The second covenant was conditional. Does the second nullify the first? Never. He will receive the inheritance, and the question is only when. In the same manner also, God made an unconditional covenant with Abraham's seed, but he made a conditional covenant with Moses. Now, do you see the picture? Now, this covenant with Abraham, which was later extended into Christ, because he said in his seed, and as Abraham a type, it was in his son, Isaac, that the seed would be called, just as it is in the seed of God. The Son of God was the inheritor of the Father's kingdom. Now, all those that have died in Adam, for the Bible said, he that descended first, or ascended, first descended into the lower parts of the earth, preached to the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah. That went back to Adam. Now, the condition was, if they that heard the gospel, how can you hear without a preacher, and how can he preach except he be sent? So God did not add conditions to the covenant of Abraham. It is without works, and it is an everlasting covenant that shall not be null or void in any sense of the word. Now, in Galatians 3:15, you read the conditions. Yet he did add more people to the list of inheritors because, see, he chose Jacob, and he gave him his rights by the law. But meanwhile, God made a covenant with Moses that put the conditions upon our actually receiving the inheritance. The condition is perfect obedience. And so the practice among the fundamental churches of the day is to get people to go to the altar and make a decision for Christ. And that is all you hear. What does this mean? It means exactly that we are to ratify or to sign our names to the Mosaic covenant, promising to make our Savior Lord of our life and obey his law and to refrain from sin. But what did the second covenant say? This is the law of the Levitical. Now the Bible said, I gave you the law, none of you kept it, and they that broke the law died without mercy. Yeah, there's none good, no, not one. This is the conditional problem of a flesh man. There must be something to keep the flesh man in a divine semblance of the law. Paul said, I would have not known sin except the law said. So you see, now we've got a rein as we put a bridle on a horse. The law was to bridle, or to restrain you, or to keep you. Now, to keep who? To keep all the world, all the world. It's not written for all the world. The world who has not the law by nature doing those things contained in the law, there is a reward, and to them that were scattered abroad, having the inheritance in their heart, knowing of the conscience of justification by grace, and that not of itself, the gift of God, means that there is in this case a grace, and if you strike the G, you get the message here tonight, by his blood, then we must forever know that that decision that we make was made long before we ever came here in a unconditional covenant that he wrote our names on the Lamb's book from the very foundation of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the two covenants and the difference between the two and how we are so miserable in the flesh man as we strive to enter in a destroyed gate. But then the spirit justification by grace. Remember, Yahweh chose those things that are foolish. And when we compare it to the wisdom of the law, the Pharisees sought it by wisdom and stumbled at the stumbling stone because he chose the foolish things. He chose the rejected name over the accepted name. For a covenant is, there must be a necessity of the death of the one that made it. And so then Christ came to die for all under the law. Now, let us go back as we come into the second part of our message tonight, as we are looking into the tares and the process of the tares in Matthew chapter 13. And when the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a highway of holiness where no unclean thing, no fowl or no buzzard or no miscegenated seed of bloodline, of corrupted bloodline, will walk their own. It is a highway of holiness. Now, meaning that you are starchy and you're perfect in the flesh? No. The perfection of the spirit. You see, the flesh man, as evil as he is, can never come under subjection to Christ, the eternal spirit. For no flesh and blood shall inherit. And therein lays the problem with the ego of the flesh man. We're coming back after the break. Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Calling, talking about the two covenants. I'm going to get into the tares later on in the message, and we're going to really be enlightened about the covenant. Yahweh bless you. Come on back in two, and we'll get right back into the Word. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the two covenants tonight, and the great mystery that is woven into the text by the great mystery writer, the Apostle Paul. We're in the sixth chapter of the book of Romans to begin. What shall we say then? For until the law, sin was in the world. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed, for there is no law. Ah, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Now listen to me. You know that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is then loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth and she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Perfect analogy here, the Apostle Paul in his great wisdom, talking about the death of the first covenant. The null is now null and void. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth a fruit, spiritual fruit, now not flesh fruit. There's a difference. Men love to bring or do works or brag about what they've done. by doing so, they like to criticize the works of others. That's a Pharisee, someone that trusts in his own righteousness and despises the righteousness of others. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. They shall bring forth dead fruit, works that they can brag about, boast in the flesh realm. Oh, I've done this, I did that. That's named after me, and that is in honor of me, and I did this, and I did that. What about the spirit man? For while we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now, we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were helped, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I would have not known sin except by the law, for I would have not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Isn't this word wonderful? But sin, taking occasion by the commandment. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's just like you see a jar of cookies, and you were told not to get in the cookie jar. And God, in reality, catches everyone sneaking out a cookie every once in a while. Now, your cookie may not be like my cookie. Your sin may not be like my sin, but we've all sinned and come short. We've all got caught with our hand in the cookie jar. Sin, taking occasion, wrought in me all manner of conspicuous, for without the law sin was dead, but I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, that first covenant, I found to be unto death. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. You see, the law is very crafty. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy and just and good. Was then that which was good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin. You see, sin has to be contrasted to the grace plan. For you're not saved by works, which is under the law a commandment conditional contract. You're saved under the Abrahamic contract through Christ and his own blood. Not of works lest you should boast, but been made now through his blood, entering in unworthily, participating in his communion of his blood and of his flesh and of his body, you are partakers, and that which you found to be life became death, and that which you thought was death became life. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I would that do, I do not, but that I hate, that I do. That I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. And then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Ladies and gentlemen, the very faults of foolishness is sin. We've all sinned. You say, yeah, but your sin was much bigger than my sin. Ladies and gentlemen, David had a man killed just to get his wife. Was that a greater sin than stealing a cookie out of a jar that don't belong to you? Of course not. Sin is sin. There is no big sins or little sins. So then you must have a sin covered. Now, what is the covering agent here in the new covenant? For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I thank my heavenly Father who laid down the covenant of his own body, made it a death covenant to me, that through his blood I have forgiveness of sins to those who are in the Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. You see, I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep it. You couldn't either. And for those that trust in their own righteousness, you're going to have a great disappointment on the day of judgment, as your Pharisaical spirit will be condemned, and you sent away, stripped of your raiment, and with those that have rejected the blood of Christ, over their sins, because the Bible said that the blood covers a multitude. It is the blood that you must plead. In the likeness of sinful flesh, the Son came, shed his blood for those who would claim their sins are covered by the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was his blood. It came down from above. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And God hath not given us the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but he hath given us that Spirit which we have received, the Spirit of adoption. When were we adopted? According to the book of Ephesians, in the covenant I read you in chapter 2, before the foundation of the world, we were his inheritance. God promised Christ. Before the foundation of the world, he said, I will, and those that have, he hath given me, I will set him on high, because he hath known my holy name. As we go to Psalms chapter 22, notice as I read, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard my afflictions, and from the horns of the unicorn, a Joseph statement, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we declare unto you the manifested, great, magnanimous, magnificent, holy, all-powerful, all-wise, all-saving name of Yahweh. Once your sins are under that blood, there can never be another sacrifice made for those sins. Those sins are gone. Cast into the sea of forgiveness under the blood covenant of his power through the blood that covers by his grace and by his own righteousness, I am made nigh to his throne as an unworthily, not a unworthy participant. Because I was made unworthily. That's the adverb that modifies the action to the second covenant. From the first covenant, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing praise to my Yah. You that fear Yahweh, praise him, and all the seed of Jacob, glorify him, all you seed of Israel. For he hath not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted of his sheep. Neither hath he hid his face from them. And when they cried unto him, he heard. And my praise shall be of those in the great congregation. I will pay my vows. Therefore they will fear him. And the meek shall eat and be satisfied. And they shall praise Yahweh that seek him. And your heart shall live forever. My, what a covenant of promise. That all the truths of Yahweh are mercy and truth. Such as keep his covenant. For his name's sake, pardon my iniquity, David cried out to God, for it is great. Ladies and gentlemen, what a great God we have that sits in the heavens. Where he sits between the cherubim, where he offers a covenant of grace and salvation to them that fear him, that will come and receive without works. The manifestation of his own works as he laid down a pattern and died for the tester that became the testator that gave us a covenant of renewal that we would come before his presence in righteousness with a set of new garments without spot and wrinkle because they're washed in the blood. Oh my, what a covenant, what a joy, what power, what praise, what honor belongeth to him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, so that no flesh could glory in his presence. No one could say, I did this for you, God. You did nothing for me. I did all this, but God can truly say, I did it for them. My brethren, in the midst of a congregation, I will declare their name unto thee, Almighty. I have brought them before you, and I have covered them with my blood. What a promise. What a joy. What a freedom. What a liberty, for where the spirit of the liberty is, there is Yahweh. And for his name's sake, he restored my soul. He led me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. ladies and gentlemen, Satan has to take a back seat. He has to sit there and watch you give praise and honor and glory into someone else other than yourself. You see, Satan wanted you to declare yourself to be a god and walk among the gods without any blood covenant of salvation through the blood of the covenant of the Lamb, that you could make your own boast and you could come before him and boast as doth the Pharisees in the carnal spirit of the law of the first covenant. But God found fault with it and did away with it. It is now old and ready to decay and is vanishing away. But the renewed covenant that shall be for those a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to Yahweh for a generation. And they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born by the blood of the Lamb in water baptism for the remission of sins. And the meek shall eat and be satisfied. And they shall praise the Lord that seek him early. They shall find him, and he shall restore their soul, and he shall lay down his life for them. They shall call upon him in the day of trouble, and he shall deliver them. For he said, it is my sheep, and they shall say, Yahweh is my God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty covenant, what wisdom, what honor. Yahweh shall hear in the day of trouble, the name of God of Jacob shall defend me. Send me help, Almighty God, from your sanctuary, and strengthen me out of Zion. Remember all your offerings and accept my burnt offerings, Shelah. Remember all thine offerings and accept thy burnt offerings, Shelah. Ladies and gentlemen, your heart is a burnt offering toward God as he wrathes the laws into your heart. For some trust in chariots or their own works, and some trust in horses, the ability to move forth and run to and fro, seeking rest and finding none. But we remember that we trust in the great name of the covenanted Savior who died for us, that we might be made nigh to his throne. Praise his mighty name. Now, let me say this tonight, ladies and gentlemen, before I close this message on the covenant, remember that there is tares among the wheat. Fear not. Let them alone. Don't cast your pearls before the swine. Avoid them. Separate yourself from them and preach the gospel. Follow after righteousness with all men in peace, with holiness, without which no man shall see God. Do the work of an evangelist. Preach and teach and baptize. Continue on. March on. Don't give up. Don't turn back. For those that turn back are not fit for the kingdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We're talking about the two covenant kingdoms tonight. There is a kingdom of darkness. There is a kingdom that singeth right. That's the flesh darkness. Oh, how great is that darkness as they gnaw their tongues in pain. How that their kingdom is filled with darkness. Oh, they say they have light. They trust in their own works. They boast all day long. I'm this and I've done that and I'm this good and he's that bad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a weak brother and you see him fall or stumble, go to him and him alone. Hold him up. Bandage up his wounds, pour in the oil and the wine, get rid of the Pharisee spirit or of the priesthood spirit of the carnal wrath of the law. Oh, he deserved what he got. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, don't rejoice when your brother falls, lest you be tried with the same judgment that you judge. For with the judgment that you judge, you shall be judged. It'll come right back upon your head in judgment, and God shall bring it to pass according to the word of Yahweh. And so then, we are to ever be indebted, not by our own works of righteousness which we have done, but the righteousness of Yahweh which he done. And he made us nigh by the blood of his own covenant, giving us a right to the tree of life, fulfilling the desires of the prophet. that the Bible said, I will give you the very desires of your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me, simply address your letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Pastor Buddy and I've enjoyed being with you as we're continuing tomorrow night. We're going into the third phase of the covenant. Now, we have established that there were two covenants. This first covenant had a condition upon it that was given to the Mosaical covenant. This covenant is what is known as the second covenant, because the first covenant was a promise covenant looking forward to the day of Christ, which this covenant is to be kept in honor of the blood of our Savior. And by his blood we're made nigh, not by works, but of his blood. Now, I've said it's by his amazing grace. Ladies and gentlemen, I look forward to being on the altar with you in the fellowship of Passover, where that we will play the great song, Amazing Grace, on the Scottish pipes, and you will hear the great sound of his grace as men and women gather around a covenant, around an altar of salt, where that we offer up acceptable prayers to our Heavenly Father. Yes, we don't go to the bell boxes with the staples of the steeples that are stapled onto the top, the phallus of the Babylonian code of the vagina and the phallus, if you will. We go to a altar where we have the ability to build these, and we're commanded to build them. Oh, yes, we get criticized for going out and calling on the great name. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you one thing. Those that call on Yahweh, Yahweh shall hear from heaven. The Bible said his ears are open to the cries of his people. And for those you have not, because you ask not, so ask that you might receive. If you receive a prophet's reward, if you give a cup of cold water, you will receive a prophet's reward. Praise Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, for every good thing that you do, there is compensation from the Spirit. So sow the seed of love, not the seed of disagreement, not the seed of envy, strife, or negativity. So the grace of Yahweh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found by the one that hung on the tree. For that reason, I bow my knees humbly on the sacred altar of the covenant of salt. I lift my head and my eyes toward the holy mount of Zion, the new Jerusalem. And I look at my brothers and sisters who come from all of the 12 tribes of Jacob Israel, where we dedicate and honor those who have gone before us to prepare a place for us. And ladies and gentlemen, you get into heaven, you will enter where the altar is. There's an altar in heaven, and there's 12 gates to that altar with the names of the 12 tribes. If you don't own it down here, you'll know what you're doing up there. If you've kept it down here, you'll want to keep it up there. If you criticize it down here, you'll probably be turned away up there. For that cause, the Bible says you reap what you sow. Well, we are time for us to get out of here. And we've enjoyed being with you tonight. This great covenant just stirs my soul. I love the blood covenant of grace. For the race of Yahweh, a covenant of blood. Yahweh bless you until tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Pastor Buddy. Today is the 21st of May. I'm live and direct tonight. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. Yahweh bless you, Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow night on the Second Covenant.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. You'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the same station. Radio Show.